Just be the best at it. Be number one. Be an expert at it. And if you're the best at what you do, or build your name at what you do, you'll never be broke or unemployed. Because if you're that talented at doing that thing, sales, running a machine, doing podcasts, being a pilot, a jet pilot, whatever you are, just be the best at what you are, and you should have a pretty good life.
Welcome back to The Pursuit of Purpose. My name is Chris Kiefer, and today I am with the one and only Scott Wire from Live Wire Training. Thank you so much, Scott, for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate it, Chris. Glad to be here.
Scott, give everybody that does not know Scott Wire or hasn't been in the home service world before, or the concrete coatings world, who is Scott Wire?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So I think I have about 3,500 people that either have my phone number and or follow me on some type of social media, which means there's like, what, 300 billion that don't know me. So that's a lot of pressure. So who is Scott Wire? Gosh. So I'm just a sinner from a one blinker light town in southern Indiana. Grew up on a small farm with son of a salesman and a homemaker. My dad was a salesman who had a farm, which meant that as the oldest son, I was the farmer. So we grew just about everything we ate. We grew in the garden or in the barn. So grew up like that. And I'm actually the oldest of nine altogether of us. So I guess that's where some of my leadership comes from. Went to a tiny little school. I'm from a one blinker light town. Chris, you've heard that story before. And not much is supposed to come out of Hayesville, Indiana, but we're very proud. There's been a lot of great people come out of there, including a bunch of Wires, a bunch of my siblings. My parents still live in the same house that I was raised in. I was just there a few weeks ago, staying in the same bedroom I grew up in. I left home at 17, went in the Navy, spent about almost 5 years in the Navy, and was in during Persian Gulf, and did three tours on aircraft carriers, and really enjoyed my time there, made lifelong friendships with that. And basically, since I got out of the Navy and I started selling insurance door to door in the Midwest in a suit and tie, $20 and $40 policies. This was kind of Aflac before Aflac, where you knock on somebody's door and sell them write them a policy right then. And if they got hurt or got sick while they were off work, you could get paid. This was called combined insurance, started by the great W. Clement Stone 100 years ago. And I did that for 2.5 years. I bought my first new car ever doing that, a sweet, flashy Chrysler Sebring LXI 1996. That was awesome, way before your time, Chris. And I've really been in sales and leadership since then. I've worked for huge companies like Pitney Bowes and Walmart, and I've worked for tiny little companies that were getting started or been in business a long time, like little Corbin's Drapery or a little company you might have heard of called Pentec, and all kind of all in between. So, but I spent half my career, the first half of my career, on the retail side, selling in the home, with homeowners. And the second half of my career, the last 20 years or so, working with dealers and small business owners and training their staff on how to market and sell in the home and how to build businesses.
That's awesome. The one thing, so obviously we met through the Pentec world and Ecosphere. One thing that I like from the first time that I met you, I was like, this guy's got so much energy. Everybody knows him, likes him. You're always laughing. And I'm curious where like, was that like, that's who you've been since you were a kid? Did you like discover that part of yourself in your career, or like where did in your mind, like, I feel like everybody has like key points in their life. Like in most of the way I have heard it described to me is that there are inflection points and there's lots of little ones, but if you laid them all out on the timeline of your life, there would be like one or two major ones that had a big change in the trajectory of who you are or what you do. Would you say that, what would you say those are for you? Or what was the biggest one of like, man, at this point in this time of my life, or at this company or this opportunity that happened?
I'd say really probably four things. It's a great question that I wasn't expecting, but fairly easy. So number one, growing up in a big family in a small town, you get to have a lot of fun and do a lot of laughter. And back then we, you know, I'm old, I'm almost 52. So we rode bikes and was all over the neighborhood and we're out in the woods and all that. And we just grew up, you know, in a very happy, family and a lot of laughter, a lot of relatives, huge Southern Indiana, huge, you know, Irish Catholic and German Catholic and all that kind of stuff, huge families and big get-togethers a lot. I'm a big get-together guy. You know me. I love to feed everybody and have everybody have a full stomach and laugh and do all that. So that was, I just grew up with it. I think that's the first thing. My mom's got one of the most infectious laughs in the world, besides my wife. I'd say the second thing is in the Navy, you know, you're on a ship with 5,500 men for 10 months at a time. And you want to, you know, cry a lot because you miss people back home and you're 17, 18, 19, and you're defending your country and you just got you and your shipmates. So there's a lot of laughing, a lot of diversity. I mean, you're sleeping in bunks next to guys from, Compton and guys from Denver that are ranchers and guys from, New York City that are Italian and just all over. And I'm a, you know, Southern Indiana Hayesville kid. So you have a lot of fun and laughter in the Navy as well. My wife, she's 26 years now. We just had our 26th Valentine's Day, Neela, and she's a super happy person. You never see her without a smile. I like to take credit for that. You know, she's had a smile on her face since I've known her, but she was like that before I met her too. She's just a happy person, very outgoing, smiling, the consummate hostess and entertainer. So she's great to spend life with. She's my best friend, and we have a blast. Anybody that knows us knows that. And then last but not least, I would say because I'm in the small entrepreneur or small business world, most companies are from zero to, you know, less than $50 million. And I work with mostly salespeople. So a lot of guys and girls under the age of 35, and they're fun too. And they love to laugh and have a good time. And you have to because this is a tough business. It can get you daily and from one appointment to the other three times a day. You could go from on top of the world, you could run through a brick wall to I want to cash my chips in and go run a cash register at Lowe's tomorrow and just not have responsibility. And so it's a very high swing with this world of commission and the world of sales and homeowners and trying to make your boss happy and trying to make you know take care of your family and take care of your family on your personality is a big pressure. So I think you have to laugh a lot, and I always say find your spots. Get in where you fit in, as Too Short would say. Find your spots. So I'd say my upbringing, my Navy shipmates, my wife, and all my fellow sales grinders throughout the United States that have to make a living on commission and talent.
That's fantastic. I'm curious, the thing that another thing that we've connected on, obviously the show called The Pursuit of Purpose. You have a pretty inspiring purpose or mission in life. Tell us about that. And we'll, you know, build on the conversation from there.
Yeah. So, my mission statement or my mission is called 1% impact. And I don't have a business card nowadays because we have everything digital, right? So when I started my company LiveWire Training in 2014, a year later, I started with my previous employer, Pentec, and I decided that between Pentec and raising a family and three sons that I was going to have to put that business on hold. It wasn't going to be fair to my family or my employer to try to run a side sales training business. So I put it on hold for 8 years. I reactivated it January 6th of this year, and I got my digital business card because we don't do business cards anymore, and I thought about what am I going to put on there. I mean, the number one thing was 1% impact. And I was in the hot tub with my middle son the other night. He's 19 and he runs his own clothing label. And we were talking and he saw my business card on my phone and he said, what's 1% impact? And that's why I put it that way, because I want people to ask me that. In my younger days, I thought, and I was egotistical enough to think that I could impact people by 40%, 50%. Like, oh man, if I really spent time with Chris, I could change his life for the better by 70%. But we get all these, you know, big, huge numbers that we're going to really change everybody. I was sitting at Thanksgiving about 3 years ago I'll tell you a little story. In Indiana, where my parents live, where I grew up, and my dad's sitting to my right where he always sits, my dad, Kenny, who's 76, wise old owl, been in sales forever, and a great dad and a great business guy, and my wife's sitting to my left, and so my dad says, "How's your little sister's business coming along?" Now, that's my little sister, Ashley, that you know, Diesel Elite Concrete Coatings, down in Tallahassee, and she's the baby. She's the youngest. And not his daughter. Her and I have a different dad. But he loves her just like, you know, anybody. And he's in business. So he's like, "How's your little sister's business going?" I'm like, "Well, they had a goal their first year to do $1.1 million. And the first year they did $3.1 million. And they're on their way to do over $6 million the second year. And then on and on to probably $8 or $9 million the third year." And this was a few years ago. And my wife, being the supportive wife, she'll probably kill me for telling the story. But she pipes up and says, "Yeah, and it's all because of Scott." And I go, no. I said, "They did all the work." I said, "It ain't because of me. It's because of them." Because Ashley and Buck are the hardest working, you know, best people on the planet. They're just awesome business owners and bosses and entrepreneurs. The American, you know, American story, American dream. And so my dad, wise old Al, says, "Well, would you take a 1% credit on getting them started in this business and helping them build it and giving them advice and help?" I'm like, "Well, sure. Yeah, that'd be fine." He goes, "Okay." He goes, "So how many dealers do you have?" I said, "Oh, I don't know, probably like 160 and maybe 200 markets in the U.S. or something like that." And he said, "And how many companies have you worked for and how many dealers have you helped do that?" I'm like, "Oh, gosh, probably 500 dealers or something in the last, 15, 20 years in this. And like maybe 3,500 people or so, salespeople and business owners and all that." And he said, "Well, and how many people do you interact with every day?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Well, on planes, the flight attendant, the at the hotel at 11 o'clock at night, checking in, your waitress, your salespeople that you work with. Sometimes you're training 3, sometimes you're training 30. I said, "Oh gosh, a lot of people." He said, "So if you could have a 1% impact on all of those people, I think that'd be pretty good," he says to me. And it was this moment, Chris, of like, and I was probably 47 at the time. I'm, 52 now, almost 48, maybe 52 now, almost. And it was this moment of, I don't know if I should cuss, but holy freak. That's it. This pressure that I've put on myself for all these years to have this huge impact on every salesperson, every company, every new entrepreneur, my bosses, my people I work for and making them money and all those things. The wise old owl, my stepdad, narrows it down to just have a 1% impact. And he said, "That'll be good enough." And so from that day, Chris, I changed my mindset to every single person I come in contact with every day, I want to try. You can't always succeed, but I want to try to have a 1% positive impact on their life, because you don't know what that 19-year-old pregnant young lady at the Hampton Inn at 11 o'clock at night had for her day when you check in as the last guy. And you don't know what that guy stewardess flight attendant, that's his fourth flight ever and he's nervous and he's trying to figure out how to be a flight attendant, or that salesperson that you're working with that thinks they're getting ready to lose their house or their car because they're on a low streak for 3 months and they're about to get fired and they need inspiration. You don't know. So just got to have a 1% impact. That's the shortest way to tell that story. So big props to the wise old owl, my dad, Kenny Wire.
While you were saying that, I was looking up I asked ChatGPT, if you're 1% off course when you leave New York on an airplane, 1% correction at the right time in your life, that can set you on a pretty big difference in the end. Right. And so I love that. I think it's a great reminder that we don't have to, I resonate with a lot of what you're saying, like the desire to be great and be remembered and make an impact and like have people talk about you when you're gone and all that stuff. Yet, yeah, of course I have those feelings and there's pressure and excitement and driving and whatnot. And then this is kind of, I wasn't planning on having this conversation, but why not? This is fun. I heard somebody say one time that in life, it's basically like everybody's digging a hole. So you get to dig a hole in your life. You can dig as big of a hole as you want. But when you die, that hole gets filled in. And it's like you were never there. And so there's two contrasts to this. Obviously, that could be, some people might look at that as being very pessimistic or what's the word? Depressing. Yeah. But it's like the idea to me that was inspiring when I heard that is like, and I should clarify what that means is like how many billions of people live, die, and then are never talked about again, you know? And that I would say 99.99999% of us are never going to be talked about again in a far enough time frame, right? Like Socrates and Aristotle, they made like they're the 0.00001% of people that actually are still talked about or have an impact, you know? But even them, everybody is going to be forgotten, you know? And so for me, it's like, okay, I can dig, like I have the opportunity to just like sit here and not dig any hole, or I can try and dig a hole as big as the Empire State Building. Take your pick. It doesn't, like on one hand, it doesn't matter. And then I would say from my Christian perspective, every single thing that you do matters, and they're both true, right? So it's like, who cares? Don't do anything, or have the biggest impact that you want. In worldly perspectives, nothing's going to have any impact lasting beyond, you know, 100 years or 500 or whatever. But at the same time, the thing that's interesting to me is just like the way I take it is take the pressure off yourself. You're not that important, Chris. Like nobody cares. But at the same time, it's like that doesn't mean you don't show up. And when you see the person, you smile at them and that has an impact. And that, you know, like the ripple effect of being a good person that's huge. But forget about your name or whatever, because that doesn't matter, because no one's going to remember you. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Two just responses to that. Number one, I'd say 90% of the people that we have a chance to impact will never know our name. So I'd say you have to know every day going into it that you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for them. So that person that will never know your name, that you're in seat 21A or that you're at table 9 or whatever it is, or that they're renting you a car or you smile and shake their hand at church, whatever it is, they may never know your name. And that's okay, because you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for them. That's the point of it, right? The other side that I'll say, the contradictory side, is I'm a big guy on legacy. And I think, and the older I get, the more it's confirmed. The only thing we ever have in this world is our name. It's why what you're doing, Chris, is so important. Scott Wire is the only thing I got. So since my kid's been in kindergarten and going to middle school and high school, I've told them first day of school every year, hey, you're going out in the community, and when you leave this home, you don't just carry your name. You carry my name and your mom's name and your grandpa and your great-grandpa, and I name the names and uncles and aunts. And guess what? We care about our name. We've worked hard to build it and protect it, and you will go out and you will protect it, and you will not mess up my name and build your own name. And so I have three sons, 24, 19, and about to be 17 next week. And so sons and raising kids, I have like 24 nieces and nephews. So I think your legacy, my mom bought me a book years ago called Lineage, Line, and Legacy, and it's about what you leave the people that are directly in your family. So my sons, and if they decide to have kids or grandkids, and my wife and I talk about, and it sounds corny, but it's really real. My wife and I, as you know, we love to go out and do all kinds of fun stuff and all kinds of different events and all that. And anybody who follows me on social media is probably dizzy and bored by now. But we love to do all that stuff. And we talk about that someday our grandkids and great-grandnieces and great-grandsons will say, wow, we might do if we knew our ancestors in the 20s, let's say, or the 1880s or whatever, or the 50s. We might look back at those pictures and those times and say, wow, they look like they were a classy couple, or they look like they were loving or had a blast, and look at all these fun things they did, and look how they lived life together for 70 years of marriage, or however long, you know, we get to be on this earth to do that. And so for me, the legacy for my kids, grandkids, great grandnieces, all those, to know that my wife and I lived the way we lived, which is not for everyone, but it's for us, and had the fun, and we still did things with care. Those things are important. And I think having three sons for me was very impactful. The first son was the most impactful, obviously, because that's, you know, that's when you're like, oh man, it's real now. You know, but then when you start having, and I've got a bunch of nieces too, so, you know, it's the same with daughters. But for me, it's my job to raise three young boys to become men and go out and try to, you know, make their legacy and keep my name the way I want it, and my dad and my grandpa and my great grandpa. So I think legacy is really important when you're thinking about your family specifically.
Yeah. I love the only thing you own in life, or you can, did you say own or control or both?
The only thing you have, you could say own, control, have, and I was recently reminded of it, Chris, about 6 weeks ago, is when you think you have something or something's your baby or you own something, then you're reminded, no, the only thing you have is your name. And so you have to do whatever you can to protect and build your name for not only yourself and your spouse, but your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And you better do everything possible. You better be ferocious in protecting that name, because that's all you got.
Oh yeah. So I guess, with like, say you're a sales guy through and through. I have thought for the longest time, the most valuable skill that, I mean, I don't know if you can think of another one. Being able to sell, being a salesman, a true, like, honest, full of integrity salesman with great sales skills and tactics. I feel like that's the most valuable skill you could have as a human. Would you agree with that, or would you put any caveats or re-describe what I'm saying? And now a quick word from our sponsor, which is Boolean Review. Boolean is a review software that my wife and I own, and we sell this software to home service businesses. So I know there are many different people that listen to this podcast, but if you know someone, an electrician, an HVAC business, a painting company, maybe a coffee stand, someone that is providing service to customers and get found online by customers, we would love to talk to them. This is a review software that is the highest converting review software in the home service space in particular. And if you're wondering what that means, if you have 100 clients in your business, the typical business gets between 1 to 2% of those customers. So for every 100, they would get one person or two people to leave them a review on Google. Other review softwares get between 3 and 5%, and the Boolean review software gets 20% of your customers to leave you Google reviews. And these are fantastic Google reviews with lots of words, keywords that are going to help with SEO, pictures, stories, the names of your employees. So if you want to learn more, check out BooleanReview.com. And now back to the episode.
I wouldn't agree. I think we're all salesmen at heart, whether you're a kid trying to get a cookie or somebody trying to get a better deal on a car or better interest rate in your house, whatever it is. Just be the best at it. Be number one. Be an expert at it. And if you're the best at what you do or build your name at what you do, you'll never be broke or unemployed. Because if you're that talented at doing that thing, sales, running a machine, doing podcasts, being a pilot, a jet pilot, whatever you are. So I don't put sales higher than the best rancher in Colorado or the best farmer in Southern Indiana or the best car mechanic in, you know, Kentucky. That just be the best at what you are, and you should have a pretty good life. To top off on that, what I said at Pentec for years, even before Pentec, and I still live by it today. Some do, some don't. You need four things, Chris. Okay, you ready? Here's your four things. Say this for my friends, my teammates, my sons, whoever. Four things when it comes to your career. You got to be able to make a good, clean living doing something you're passionate about alongside people you respect. And those are four very different things. And I've said it at every national dealer meeting, every sharpening, every whatever for years. People know me. Because good living, and this is for you and your partners, whoever you're partnered up with, your clients, your distributors, your dealers, whoever. Good living is something different. clean living, sleeping at night, laying your head on the pillow. All the old guys that have advised me that are all in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that have all made plenty of money, too much money, some of them, talk about being able to lay your head on the pillow at night and sleep well, knowing that you did what was right and that you're doing something that's clean. Passionate being, you know, I always say sales is only the transfer of knowledge and enthusiasm from one person to another, and you got an hour to do it. In the home, right? Or on a podcast, whatever. That's all it is. That's what it boils down to. So you got to have passion, whatever you do. I don't care if you like to play guitar, you're in a band, or you like to do podcasts. Doesn't matter. And then working alongside people you respect. You can do all those, Chris. You can make a great living, a good living. You can be passionate about it. You can sleep at night, right? And do it clean. But then if the people you're with or you're working alongside don't respect you or you don't respect them, it's just a recipe for disaster. So what I wish for all my friends and teammates and sons and everybody I know is that for your professional career, you should be able to make a good, clean living doing something you're passionate about with people you respect. And if you can't do all four, it's completely wrong. You got to find something else to do.
I love it. I was going to say you took my statement and kind of twisted or went in another direction, not in a bad way, but you said something. I'm like, nah, that's what I was talking about. Sales is the transfer of enthusiasm and knowledge to the other person, right? And to me, that's like, I want to rephrase mine. I think sales skills or learning how to sell is the most applicable and broadly useful thing that a human can learn how to do. Because to your point of a farmer, a mechanic, whatever it is, if you are able to be excited about what you sell or what you do, if you're not in sales, what you do, like honestly, that's like what I love about the podcast is I don't care who I interview on the podcast, as long as they're passionate about something. Because to me, I feel like whether or not the people that come on that talk to me are would call themselves salespeople or in it, they're like formally in a sales role. The people that like for me, I get excited. I'm like talking to pilots or like, you know, artists, just like totally random different teachers. Like I interviewed old high school teachers. And it's like I've had people and I know people that are so passionate about something, which kind of dovetails into the other thing that you're saying, that it's like, yes, like it's hard to sell something you're not passionate about or you don't believe in. And even if you can sell it, then there's probably something wrong with you. But being genuinely passionate and excited about something, like, and then you couple it with sales skills, like there's like better ways and, you know, more efficient ways to transfer the enthusiasm to somebody. Like if you got sales skills, it's like, everybody needs sales skills. Parents need sales skills. You know, try raising kids without good sales skills. You know, you're going to struggle. So I love that.
The passion is big. That's why the same person can love John Dutton versus Eminem versus Teddy Roosevelt versus Shakespeare, because passion comes through no matter who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So yeah. Tell me what's the horizon look like for Scott? So you, I feel like it's just notable for people that don't know you. I don't know unless there's like secrecy and you're not able to disclose numbers, but you grew Pentek from not single-handedly, you were involved in this scaling, growing company from X to Y. And now you're a free agent. You're looking for the next thing. I feel like, again, to whatever extent you can disclose or talk about ballpark figures, I feel like you have tremendous amount of knowledge and experience in sales, and you're very, very good at transferring enthusiasm of like, and I also would say like, it's the sales trainer has to also not only transfer the enthusiasm of how to sell, but instill like belief in people. Like, I can do this. Like, I think I could do this. Like, give me that. Let me run this next appointment. Like, that's a piece of like the number of people that I personally have talked to that come in. They're kind of like, yeah, I didn't really like my old job. I hope this concrete coatings thing works out. And then they leave the trainings that you and other people help facilitate. and they're like excited. I think yes, they're excited, but they also genuinely were uncertain if they had what it took to succeed. And through being around all the other people that are going through the same thing and hearing people like yourself, I think that's the power. So anyways, yeah, to whatever extent you want to talk about that, I'm curious, like, what do you have your sights set on next, or what are you passionate about that you're kind of looking for?
Yeah, I just touch on the passion for a minute before I tell you about that. So one of the best compliments I ever got was one of my teammates. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago with Pentec, one of my regional sales teammates. And we were at a meeting together, and he was telling one of the new guys that was there. He said, "Scott's Bruce Lee." And he said, "What's that mean? What do you mean he's Bruce Lee?" He's like, "Well, if you go into a bar and you're with Bruce Lee, you always feel comfortable that you're going to be safe. Like, he's the badass, right? No matter what, you got Bruce Lee with you." And so that was one of the best. I love that as kind of a little ego stroke. That was one of my best compliments, is that, you know, if you're a leader and you have to lead from the front, and you have to know that your guys and gals have to know that you'll run through a brick wall for them, and then they'll run through a brick wall for you. And if you can't be the baddest ass in the group and lead from the front, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just not going to have that deep, deep companionship with your team. They have to feel that you are the Bruce Lee of that team, and that comes with being a leader. You got to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk and all those things. As far as numbers and all that go, I won't get into numbers too much. I'll just say, and I was talking to a nice lady yesterday in Orlando. She was at GutterCon starting today, and her and I were having a chat, and she runs her own gutter manufacturing company on the East Coast and getting ready to start trying to grow a lot. And
you say it's called GutterCon?
Yeah, GutterCon's a real thing. I didn't know it either. It's in Orlando.
That is
that's crazy.
Of course there is. Of course there is, yeah.
It's like RoofCon, and, you know, one for window treatments and roofing, that, you know, everyone has one. And so her and I were talking yesterday, I kind of forget where I was going with that. Hold on. So,
sorry, I derailed. You're saying that you're talking to this lady.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're talking about, I don't want to talk about numbers too much, but when I said to her, and I realized it when I said it, cause her and I were talking numbers a little bit. And I said, to my knowledge, before 8 years ago, before I started at Pentec, November 30th, 2015, there was no such thing as a national dealer network for coatings companies. It didn't exist. I didn't even know of any, to my knowledge, I didn't even know of any actual franchises, which we were not a franchise. Pentec is not a franchise. It just didn't exist, right? So everybody had gutter topper and windows and window treatments and Hunter Douglas. All these companies had all these different national dealer networks. But there wasn't one for coatings. And so I didn't have the idea for it. I was just the guy that was hired to drive it and grow it and build the teams. And I was very fortunate to work alongside a lot of very talented people, a lot of whom are still there that are close friends, like brothers and sisters to me, and really, really great people and workers and dedicated. And so it's been a huge group effort at Pentec, starting from when I was employee number 3, and it was just the owner and his trainer, all the way through now, you know, maybe up to 50 employees or so, and in probably over 200 markets throughout the U.S., and the largest coatings dealer network in the country. I know others may claim that, but it's not true that I can find. And to me, the best, you know, Pentec, I'm very proud of the work that we did there, that they're still doing. And I'm very interested in them growing and doing well. Love those guys. So I'm very proud of what we did in that 8 years that I was there. I wouldn't change a thing about it. They had some changes that they wanted to make, and I wasn't a fan of some of those changes. And so we decided to have a peaceful separation, as they call it, and my 8 year run with Pentec came to an end January 5th. And so I realized the next morning, one of my great buddies shot me a text, because my phone, of course, blew up when I made my little Pentec, or my little announcement on Facebook. And pretty a lot of people, a lot of people that were shocked, and a lot of people who knew me that weren't shocked. So it was interesting to see who was shocked and who wasn't. One of my buddies texted me next morning, and he said, "Wow, so how's it feel to be a free agent again?" And it just hit me weird, Chris, because I've never been a free agent in my life. I've never left a job on a Friday with a notice and not had a job to go to on Monday. I've just not done that. And when I left Pentec on January 5th, I didn't have a job to go to that Monday. And it was so crazy to hear my friends say the next morning, like, "Wow, you're a free agent." I let that sink in for a minute. I'm like, holy smokes. Like, there's a few people out there that probably want to talk to me. There's a few people out there that might want me to help them build what they want to build next. What I know is there's a lot of great entrepreneurs that are friends of mine and acquaintances of mine that they've got capital and they've got ideas, but they need somebody to strap on their boots and strap on a briefcase and get on Delta and fly, 1.5 million miles and go out there and be with all the dealers and knock on the doors and create relationships and have the steak dinners and all that kind of stuff, right? Because they're either at a point in their career where they don't want to or they don't have to, and that's what I'm for. I just learned a few years ago at a Patrick Bed David event called The Vault, my buddy Josh Abramson invited me to. It was awesome. What an entrepreneur was. I always knew what an entrepreneur was, and I never knew what an intrapreneur was until idea, right? Everybody's got all these ideas and they got capital to do it, but to make that a reality. And so whether it was me at Pentec or before that with Liners Direct and Bath Wraps before they were Jacuzzi, or at Craft Built, which has been in business 80 plus years in Pennsylvania with sunrooms and awnings, or when I sold insurance, I have put together a decent reputation for myself for being a driver, and someone who likes to grow businesses and that will strap on the boots and the hard hat and go to work and build teams and build relationships. So right now what I'm doing, Chris, is I'm looking and listening with my eyes and my ears and my heart wide open, taking a lot of meetings, having great discussions, some with people who I've known a long, long time that I've always wanted to work with, and some who I didn't know knew me and reached out to me and said, "Hey, we'd like to talk to you." And I don't even know who these people are. And I had to research, how they knew me and through this person. It's all, as it's all through relationships. So whether it's going to Dave Yoho events for 15 years or Accelerate Live or QR Top 500 or all these things, or all the Chris's and Webfoots and all the people that I've got to meet and know, I found out as a free agent, there's a few people who think I'm a pretty swell guy and think I could probably help them, realize their dream and grow. And so right now I'm just trying to, I reactivated LiveWire training because I had some people that wanted me to do some training for them right away. So I'm doing that. Some I've posted, some I haven't. That's tough for me because I post everything. Here's my toast for breakfast. That's me. I'm not in a hurry. I got plenty of time. And I'm just trying to decide what the next 5 to 10 years. I'm 51 and a half. I'm feeling better than ever. I'm down 27 pounds since November, and I'm healthy as I've been in 20 years, and I got a great rock behind me, my wife Neela, and I'm in a position where I can kind of take my time and do the right thing, and I just get jazzed and pumped up by helping people grow and doing the things that maybe they're not comfortable doing, because I've never been and probably will never be the world's greatest entrepreneur. But I don't know an entrepreneur better than me that kicks ass like I do. I'm pretty confident in that. I've got a pretty long track record of that.
I second that. I mismanaged our time. We got to go rapid fire on the book question or the wrap up.
Rapid fire. I love it. Let's do it.
So let's go. What are your three book recommendations?
Okay. So I have more than three, but I will give you some. This one's my buddy Matt Hollander, The Daily Climb. You should definitely have him on your podcast. You had Brian Brock. This is his partner at Orange Rhino. Matt Hollander, awesome, awesome book, 10 Principles to Live Your Life. Read it twice this year. My buddy Stephen Cooper, who's an engineer that wrote Love Always, awesome book. This is actually from last year. And from the business side, this has nothing to do with home improvement, but you'll love it. I read it twice last year. Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Goddara. about the guy who built the number one restaurant in the world. It goes for everything, even though it's not home improvement sales. And then the last little extra one, or two extra ones, Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss, amazing. And Getting to Neutral, Trevor Moad. Those are a little bit more business side, but so that's my, those are my books. That's a lot. Sorry.
Love it. And then favorite movie.
Okay. So these are sales movies that you don't think are sales movies. Ready? Cinderella Man, 8 Mile, Ford versus Ferrari. My favorite movies are actually Godfather 2 and Goodfellas, but that wasn't for the purpose of the podcast. Purpose of the podcast is to give you three movies that are awesome sales movies that you don't think are sales movies until you're a salesman watching them and you're like, this is a damn sales movie. So Cinderella, 8 Mile, Ford versus Ferrari, sales movies.
I love that. Well, Scott, if someone wants to reach out, chat with you, pick your brain, hire you for some consulting or coaching, how do you recommend that they do that?
Yeah, so I'm pretty easy to find. I've had the same phone number for 25 years, 317-695-4624, still Indianapolis number. I'm Indiana boy. Scott Wire, Ormond Beach is my Facebook, pretty easy to find there. At Wire Lifestyle is my Instagram. My email, you can use livewiretraining@gmail.com. Wire spelled like my name, W-E-Y-E-R, because I'm clever, right, Chris? Or my normal Scott_wire@yahoo that I've had since Yahoo started. But, yeah, you could text me, Facebook message me, people. I'm one of those guys that you could reach out to me any way you want, and I'll get back to you. I love trying to help people and do whatever I can to have a 1% impact.
Awesome. Well, Scott, super fun conversation. I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Holy cow. It's been a long time in the making, I feel like.
And I'm sure we'll see you around. And yeah, thank you so much for your wisdom and knowledge and inspiration. I really appreciate it.
Chris, great. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate everything you're doing. Keep up the good work, buddy.
Thank you so much for listening. My name is Chris Kiefer, and my mission is to champion the relentless pursuit of purpose. And what that means to me is to be an example, a champion, someone that is in the trenches working and showing and winning and trying and failing in how to pursue a deeper and more meaningful life with the people that I love, with my kids, with my friends, with our family, and also just be a champion and example of entrepreneurship and following my passion and doing what I believe I'm called to on this earth. And so if that inspires you in some way, please share this episode. If you want, like, subscribe, share, whatever, do all the stuff. It means the world to me to get this message and get these guests that I have out there. And if you're interested in any of the book recommendations or looking up other episodes of the movie list, you can visit my website, chriskiefer.com, for all the details on the show. And also check out the Boolean Review software, as well as the Boolean Automation Consulting Company that I own for home service businesses. So thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next episode.